Quiet fellowship time today. So it is time for the sermon. It's been a quiet fellowship time. Usually it's a bit noisier in here. But you may be quiet. It is time for the sermon. We are going to be continuing today our the Word of Life series in 1 John. And our passage for today is 1 John 4, 7 through 12. This is a great passage. You know, we all know the love passage from 1 Corinthians 13. Well, this also is a love passage, 1 John. So, if you'd like, you may stand as we read this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. You may sit down. I just want to pray before going any further here. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your life, Lord, the life that you have given, granted to us, the life that we were born into when we believed, the life even that we live out now as we follow you and as we live in this fellowship, Lord. Thank you for that. Lord, teach us today. Open up your word to us today. Bless my lips and allow me to bring something of worth to the people here today. Amen.
Amen.
So the title for this sermon is Love Perfected, or How to Become a Real Lover. So I have some pictures here about, well, they're not real lovers. It's kind of real fictional love, but unusual love relationships, okay? So, and you guys are going to have to, you know, this is a quiz, so.
Oh, okay.
Who are these people?
Anna and Kristoff.
Yes, Anna and Kristoff. So who is Anna?
She's a princess.
She is a princess. Who's Kristoff? He's an ice man, an ice peddler. Different backgrounds, but, you know, they came together. Great love story. How about these guys?
Ariel and Eric.
Ariel and Eric. Who is Eric?
He's a prince.
Eric is a prince. who is Ariel?
She's a mermaid princess.
She's a mermaid. So Ariel lives on the land, right? And where does Ariel live?
In the water.
Under the sea.
Yeah.
Okay. So unusual relationship. How about these guys?
A man and a woman. That's
Arwen and Aragorn from The Lord of the Rings. Again, an unusual relationship, because Arwen is an elven princess, and Aragorn is actually a king who doesn't have a kingdom yet, as the story begins, a wanderer in the wastelands of Middle-earth, a ranger, and yet they love each other.
They're always so handsome and so beautiful. How realistic is that?
Right.
You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now, this is for some of you older folks. Who are these? Lady and the Tramp. So who is Lady? Where is she from? An aristocratic family. She's kind of like a princess. She's a rich puppy. And who is the tramp? He's a tramp. Homeless, living on the street, finding food on his own. You know, not the cleanest animal. But Lady and the Tramp, and they fall in love. This scene, if you remember it, they've actually got two ends of the same spaghetti strand, and they wind up sucking it together, and then their lips meet. How sweet! And now it's a little bit more obscure. And again, for your older people, we'll see if any of you know this. Debbie didn't know these guys.
Pepe
Le Pew, yes, and Penelope. And who is Penelope? Penelope's a cat. She has an unusual fur marking, a white stripe going down her back and her tail. Who is Pepe Le Pew? He's a skunk. So, enough for... We also have an unusual love story, don't we? but ours is a real love story. So let's get into our passage. That's the whole passage up there, and I highlighted the first word, beloved. Let's stop there. John addresses the people here as beloved. Now, John understands about being beloved. In his gospel, he refers by name to some of the other disciples, but he never refers to himself by name. In his gospel, John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He knew that he was beloved. And, it's important to know that you're loved, important to believe that you're loved. Psychologists tell us, I wrote this down because I'm not a psychologist, children who are loved develop strong self-worth, emotional safety, healthy relationships, whereas children who are not loved often struggle with chronic self-doubt, anxiety, and defense mechanisms. And also adults who have had trauma in their life. When they come to a place where they know that they're loved, it calms the heart rate, it removes the pressure to perform or to be perfect, which lets old mental tensions melt away. So, beloved, John wants us to know. We are beloved of God. Okay, so I have seven things to know. Seven, call them steps or clues, how to become a real lover. So the first one is, know that you are beloved. Believe that you are beloved. Because if you know that you're loved, beloved, you will be able then to love other people. So, second, let us love one another. Now, love is, by the way, various versions of the word love, agape in Greek, appear 15 times in these six verses. So like I said, this is a love passage. But love can be, like in English, love can be a noun, the love of God. It can be a verb. Love one another. It can also appear, and the verbs have various forms, and also beloved, which has a little suffix that says a beloved one, or loved one in Greek. But the Greek verbs can have mood and voice. They have tenses like our verbs do, past, present, future. But this in Greek is a present progressive verb. So you could say, let us be loving one another. It speaks of an active, progressive thing that we do with one another. So John isn't saying, beloved, let's have gushy feelings toward one another. He's saying, let us be loving. Let us be involved in loving one another. Okay? So, clue number two. Yep, gotta switch my page here. Practice loving one another. Remember a couple weeks ago when I talked about it, those who practice sin and those who practice righteousness. Practicing means you're doing it. You're doing it. You're practicing it. But as you practice, you become better at it, right? And so, step number two, or clue number two in becoming a real lover is to practice loving one another. Next bit here. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, notice that first from in there. Love is from God. There are actually two words in Greek that are translated from. And one of those words you would say, like if I would say, I'm from St. Paul. It's where I come from. That's one word. But if I would say, let's see, I forgot my analogy here. If I would say, I come from a lump of clay. That was my origin. That was where it started. And this is the word that's used here. It says, love comes from God, is the source of love. The only source of love is God, is what this is saying here. And we need to understand this, that, you know, there's a human kind of love. Again, in a past sermon, when I talked about, you know, don't love the world, the things of the world are all superficial things. What we can feel, what we can see, how people see us, they're all centered on ourselves. And human love is a self-centered love. A pure love, a selfless love, a godly love, that's what this is talking about. That love comes from God. We try to have that love as human beings. We can't get there because we can't get beyond ourselves without God. Okay? And so it goes on to say, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And the reverse is also true. If you do not love, you do not know God. So whoever is loving has been born of God, because love comes from God. God is the source of selfless love. We understand being born again as believers. We talk about that, so we know we have the idea of being born of the Spirit. John talked about that in his Gospel, chapter 3. You must be born again. Be born by the Spirit of God. But he adds here, you'd be born of God and knows God. And again, this is a present progressive. It's not like you can say, well, yeah, I remember meeting God when I was born again. That's not where it ends. If it ends there, are you going to be able to love really? Be a real lover? This is talking about knowing God as a relationship, having an ongoing relationship with God. That's what he's saying. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God and has a relationship with God and walks with God. And then he ends this passage, he says, because God is love. And this is an interesting thing to say, because a lot of times when I think of God, I think of, you know, omnipotent, all power, omnipresent, always there, everywhere, omniscient, knowing all things. Yet God characterizes himself. God is love. This is his very character, his very nature is to love. And this is the very nature that he plants in us who believe by his Holy Spirit. And so John is saying, know God. Been born again. Know God. That's his nature, and let his nature come through. So, clue number three. Get to know God more and more. Want to become a real lover? Get to know God more and more. There are many ways to relate to God. You relate to God in worship, in prayer, in personal prayer, in prayer with people. You get to know God by reading his word. You get to know God by being a part of the church. You get to know God in many ways. You get to know him more and more as you engage in doing these things where you have contact with the Lord. And the next here. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. Interesting word, manifest. We don't use that word too often. What that means is, it's like, remember how John started this letter. What we've seen, what we've heard, what we've touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That's what we proclaim to you. So being made manifest, it's not like, yeah, you've heard about this. But John is saying we touched it. It was real to us. It was something actually that we experienced, not just by hearing some theology, but by actually experiencing the presence of God in Jesus Christ. He was there with us. God sent his Son into the world. And then it says, so that we might live through him. Now, we think about that in terms of, okay, we came to life through him. But again, here's this progressive idea that we might be living our lives through Jesus, that we might be actively connecting with Jesus as we go through our lives. And there's an idea here, and we'll get in a little bit more later, but okay, if God was made manifest through his Son Jesus, and then God caused the Spirit of Jesus to live in us, God's love then can be made manifest to our world through us. So people can see, hear, touch, experience God's love through his people. That's his desire for us. So, clue number four. Practice living through Jesus by his Spirit. Another thing to practice, another thing to be aware of, to put into practice, just living through Jesus. Living by the, and the Bible talks a lot about walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit. And those of you who have experience with this, I don't need to teach you a whole lot about it. You know what I'm talking about. There's something about letting that Holy Spirit of God come through you. So you're living through the Holy Spirit. I had one example I wrote down here. You know, it's often been through the history of my marriage with my wife. We'll be sitting in church, and as church is about to end, she'll reach over and she'll touch me, and she'll say, Don, I just have to talk to so-and-so. And so she'll get up and go and talk to that person. And so many times that person has a particular need that was not known specifically, but Debbie was led by the Spirit to go and talk to that person. My wife is empathetic. The Spirit of God is alive in her, and she lives through the Spirit of Jesus so that she can get up and go to talk to somebody to whom she is led to. And, you know, I've seen her many times where she'll go and talk to somebody, and, you know, a minute later, the person she's talking in is crying on her shoulder because there was a need there that God is meeting through Debbie. So that's an example of living by the Spirit, of letting, of living through Jesus. Our next clue here, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, again, in a previous 1 John sermon, I talked about this word propitiation. The Greek word used there is the same word that's used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament for the mercy seat, for the Day of Atonement. It's a translation of the Hebrew word kippur, which is the covering of the mercy seat. And what it's talking about is this: Jesus made a sacrifice of atonement for us, covered our sin, forgave us, and then reconciled us to God. Atonement literally comes from three words, at-one-ment. And so an atonement brings together, it reconciles, it makes us at one with God. And in earlier in 1 John 1 and 2, that's when I talked about it. It says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." So you see, as it starts, "I'm writing these things so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin." God bears with us. He forbears with us when we stumble, when we sin. He's a forbearing God, and he's ready to forgive. He's ready to reconcile. He's ready to bring us back. That's what he's saying here. It's the whole idea of love is not that we have loved God. It doesn't come from us, but that he loved us and he reconciles us to himself. So the next clue here in loving somebody else is keep your conscience clear through ready repentance. Keep your conscience clear. You know, when you have a bad conscience, guilt leads to hiding out. When you feel guilty, when you're aware of guilt, it interferes with your ability to relate to other people because you're feeling guilty and you don't want people to know what's going on inside you. When you're feeling guilty, you can forget that you're loved. You've sinned, and there's a need to come back to God and be atoned, have your sin atoned for. So keep your conscience clear through ready confession of your sins, ready repentance. So, next section here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, we've heard this construction before. God so loved. Again, comes from John, his gospel, chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So loved might mean loved so much, but it also has another meaning. So when he says, if God so loved us, he's saying, if God loved us like this, this is also how we ought to love one another. So God so loved us that he forgave our sins. He sent his son so that our sins would be forgiven and we could have life. So if we love like Jesus loved us, we forgive. We work at reconciliation. We bear with the weaknesses of others. So our next clue here on being a real lover is to be quick to apologize, forgive, reconcile, forbear. Because that's what Jesus' love does for you. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, interesting that John would say this. He saw Jesus, but he says, no one ever saw the Father. No one has ever seen God. He's talking about the Father here. John never saw the Father, but he knew Jesus, and he experienced the Father's love through Jesus. If we're loving one another, it says God abides in us. So in that, God is able to make his love manifest to others, because he's in us, his love is going out from us to others. So, clue number 7, trust the Lord to work in you and through you. So, I've got all 7 clues there to how to be a real lover. Know that you are beloved. Believe that you're beloved. Practice loving one another. Get to know God more and more. Practice living through Jesus, living by his Spirit. Keep your conscience clear through ready repentance. Be quick to apologize, to forgive, to reconcile, to forbear. And 7, trust the Lord to work in you and through you, because that's what he wants to do, to work in you and to work through you to make himself known, manifest to the world. Okay? I intentionally kept this short because we were planning on having communion today, but Don left the communion stuff at his house.
That's okay. We forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's, before we go to the last song, because we're not doing communion, I asked Rob if it would be all right for me to play his guitar, and I'm going to do a special music for you today.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
It's ironic that you did these scriptures. These scriptures you did, something happened to me Friday. A man was in the team road, and he said, I see you in here all the time. He said, these people stop doing what they do to hug you. Why? I said, because I'm contagious. I can give you a little. I said, now, if you want some of this, come on over here. I can give you some of it too. He just looked, and for you to talk about love, and for me to have told that man, I'm contagious, I came here to give love, and you can have some of it, come on over here and get you a little bit. And it just, you know,
thank you, Regina. God wants us to be contagious.
Yeah, I'm
contagious. Yeah. So this song, what's that? No, I repositioned it to the other side, so I'm playing with an open E string here. This song is called We Come to You. And I wrote this some years ago, but I typically do not play this in public. I don't have a lot of opportunity. But this is an opportunity to share this song. So. Thank you. our Lord, we belong to you. We come to seek your blessing in all you call us to. We seek your very presence, Lord, nothing less will do. Without you we'd be lost. Life is found in you. We come to you. We come to you, Lord. We come to you. We come to you. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. So then we pursue that love for one another that points the world to you. So fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Let your light shine through to bring you praise and glory. Oh Lord, we come to you. So take our lives, build us together, and fill us with your love. We come to you. We come. Congregation today. How many disciples were there?
13.
Well, if you take out Judas and add, was it Matthias? 12. There were 16 here today. That means we are one third again more powerful than the disciples. And they turn the world upside down. So God can do that with us. Amen?
Amen.
I am going to turn this back to Rob.